You're tuned to Portsmouth Community Radio, WSCALP, Portsmouth 106.1 FM. Now it's time for
Local Folk here on Portsmouth Community Radio. I'm your host, Steve Kerrigan, and that was my guest, who I will announce in just a moment. I am dedicated to the local folk music scene and the people who make it happen. I'm here to learn about the many different ways we get to where we are in the traditional music community, and also to share how we involve ourselves in the diverse group of local folk. This includes not only musicians, but listeners, collectors, historians, and any other keepers and even adapters of the tradition. I do this through the music and stories of my guests who are here to share with you a little bit about their musical selves. Before I introduce my guest this evening, I do have a few announcements, including a thanks, followed by weather and community bulletins and a word from our underwriters. I think I'm going to switch it up just a little bit right now and do, well, I'll start with the weather. Right now it is fair out, 33 degrees Fahrenheit. Tonight should be mostly clear with a low around 21, northwest wind between 3 and 10 miles per hour. Tuesday should be mostly sunny with a high near 46, calm wind becoming south between 7 and 10 miles per hour. Tuesday night showers likely mainly between 1 and 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 36, south wind around 9 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 60%. New rains amount of less than a tenth of an inch possible. Programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by you, our members, and by Daystar Computer Services, offering business-class technology services designed to meet each client's needs. Information at daystarinc.com. All right, folks, a few more things on the community calendar. The Seacoast Area Active Retirement Association will present a four-program series entitled Who Took the Party Out of the Two-Party System? These forums will be held on Thursday mornings from 10 to 11:30 a.m. at the Durham Community Church through March 8th. The Active Retirement Association has over 350 members and represents 40 towns in the New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Maine area. Potential new members may contact Carol at 603-343-1004. A very nominal non-member fee is charged for each ARA program. Additional information about the program and the ARA is available online at unh.edu/ARA. One more announcement. The University of New Hampshire Traditional Jazz Series will present Matt Wilson's Arts and Crafts on Monday, February 27th at 8 p.m. in Johnson Theater of the Paul Creative Arts Center on the Durham campus. New York-based drummer and Grammy nominee Matt Wilson is a celebrated jazz artist recognized for his musical and melodic drumming style, as well as being a gifted composer, bandleader, producer, and teaching artist. Tickets are available at the UNH Memorial Union Ticket Office and at the door online at unhmub.com/tickets or by contacting 603-862-2290. The website is unh.edu/music. All right. And one last thing before I get to my show, I just would like to say a thank you. And tonight, I would like to thank the woman I met at Fort Foster on Saturday. I didn't get her name, but she was shocked to learn how little I knew about the coffee houses of the 60s. And she mentioned there was one right in Rollinsford. And it struck me that Elysium Folk Club is indeed the closest thing to a 1960s era coffee house around. Totally different than my impression of what a coffee house is. And I love it down at Elysium Arts Folk Club. If you get a chance, it's out in Rollinsford, and they have really great shows there. So I guess the name Folk Club just threw me off. Maybe it should be Elysium Coffee House. So thank you for the insight. Thank you very much. And thanks for listening. With that in mind, I would just like to say a few words about my role as your host. First of all, I don't come here into the studio thinking that I'm some sort of expert on any of these things, but I'm more of a curious fan, not just about people, but about the music as well. Places, events, and ideas that should be common knowledge to a regular folkie might be brand new to me, and I'm here to learn and to help convey assistance and inspiration to anyone who is curious about the music. And my guests are my teachers. And tonight's guest quite literally is a teacher, at least by day. And she's truly local folk, having grown up in Nottingham, New Hampshire. Oh, hold on. I'm going to put her on a little bit. She's so we don't have to have an errata next week. Manchester, New Hampshire.
I hate to admit it.
That's okay. Well, she was exposed to traditional music since before she was even born. She's the daughter of a Berkeley grad who performed in a popular traditional Greek and American band. Her folks noticed her ear for music and introduced her to the piano and guitar. And although she loved the traditions, she was also influenced by the folk revival of the 60s. Her name is Carol Coronis, and tonight she's going to share with us a little bit about Greek music, Irish music, where and how the traditions meet, and how she's continued to grow as a musician. Nowadays, she has her own traditional Greek and Turkish music program on WUNH titled Aegean Connection. She has concerts coming up and a much-anticipated CD on the way. She's sometimes seen rocking out with her own brand of traditional at the press room session on Friday night, and it has been my pleasure to attempt to play along with it. Let's welcome Carol Coronis. Carol, thanks for being here.
Gosh, Steve, thank you so much for having me. Actually, yeah, it's good to be here.
I'm so glad. Hey, I want to just, you were telling me about this, and I want you to share with the people listening. Tell me about the environment that you were raised in, musically speaking. You said that you've been listening to this traditional music even while you were in the womb.
Yeah, you kind of grow up with it. I mean, you can hear, of course, and I don't know, the sounds are always there. My dad's band would practice in our living room when I was a little kid, like 2, 3. I'd sit in my rocker, and at the same time, I was taking dancing lessons. And for some reason, my mother got into her head that, oh, my God, my little girl's going to grow up to be a belly dancer. I should be so lucky. So they bought me my little accordion. They bought me my little piano. And then when I got a little bit older, I began taking piano lessons.
Was she happy about the belly dancing part?
No.
No.
Okay. Even as a 3-year-old when I was hot, you know. So anyway, I just I fell in love with music and sound, and I think, you know, it's the way something sounds that appeals to me. But what was funny was they would be practicing. I would come downstairs crying because they were too loud. I would yell at my dad and his band members, 3 years old, all of me there, please be quiet. I want to sleep. But anyway, so when I started playing in this band when I was about 14, I was, you know, I was pretty well versed with the Beatles stuff. I loved rock and roll. Yeah. I liked Bob Dylan, but I just loved rock and roll. And yeah.
In contrast to that, I just want to give people an idea of what it might have sounded like. That what might have driven you to rock and roll as a child. Hold on, I'm going to turn this down a little bit here. But tell me about this stuff. This is official, authentic Greek traditional music.
Yeah. And it's actually more of the Lyco music. Greek music is in a bunch of different forms. There's demotiko, which is music of the people. That's more folk. There's mbetiko, which is the Greek blues, about 1920s or so. And then there's Lyco, which is popular, and it's okay. One's a derivation of the other. And these folks, if you don't know who these folks are, you're not Greek.
You're not Greek. This is the litmus test for Greeks.
The Trio Bel Canto, and they were so influential on all of us. We grew up dancing to their music. My dad played this stuff. So when I started playing in this band when I was about 14 or so, I don't know, the sounds are in my head, and I kind of play what I hear, so that's what I did.
So you would call this is the popular form of Greek music at the time?
Popular form, but these folks played some older stuff too. They played mostly danceable music, but they did play some of the other music as well.
Is this
but
a dance?
Yes.
Listen to this for just a moment. What kind of a dance would you be doing if you were listening to this?
Sit-tos. I can do the steps. You're good. Sort of the international dance of Greece.
Okay, let's think of the international.
Bazooki. Circle dance. Somebody takes the lead, but the lead person doesn't necessarily do a lot of gymnastics. That's another Greek dance called the mbetiko. We might hear some of that later. But this is a circle dance. Everybody joins, and then other circles form, and other circles form. And, you know, you don't need a partner to do it, so it brings everybody at an event together, whether it's a wedding or a dance or a New Year's festival.
So your dad mostly played weddings, is that correct?
Weddings, festivals, a lot of festivals, actually. I didn't appreciate them then, unfortunately, but played a lot of festivals, a lot of weddings, and a lot of clubs where there would be dancing. And he toured before I was born. When I was born, he kind of toned the touring down for a lot of reasons, but he always played. Yeah.
Well, that's very cool. Well, I can enjoy this. I could walk around or dance around in a circle or watch. Or maybe watch it happen at least.
With your boron.
I can imagine what they would say. Come here, we'll teach you. Is that what they would say?
They just grab you, they get you up. And in fact, yeah. Yeah, and you know, a lot of people, they kind of have, like, what are they doing with the footwork? But folks catch on real fast, and mm-hmm. people are really, really good about making you feel welcome and laughing with you and having fun. Make sure you have fun.
Have you ever been to Greece?
Yeah, I finally actually got there.
Okay. Are they fun out there, too?
Yeah. Turkey was probably more fun. Greece, we spent most of our time in Athens. Had gone over to see my mom, who taught at Robert College in Istanbul, Turkey, in the early 90s. And spent a week in Turkey, a week in Greece, and a week in Turkey. And Greece, a little bit in Athens, and then the islands. But I loved Samos, and I just loved Istanbul. I loved the people. I loved the food. It was a great time.
Eating, when I hear this, I feel like eating, well, I only know the food a little bit. I probably only know the, I need some.
Kalamata olives, baklava.
That's what I need. I could use some of that right about now. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Well, we better get off that subject then, and just, we should move on to rock and roll.
Ooh.
A little bit.
Oh,
well,
no.
you were just saying that you were listening to this stuff, but really you wanted to rock out, or you had an appreciation for this, but you were like, man, mom, dad, you guys do that, and I'm going to listen to this. Or,
well, they were great about it. In fact, my dad introduced me to the Beatles. Well, that is through Ed Sullivan, of course. He said, you got to see these four guys, and I'm okay, because my dad always good taste in music, and he was very encouraging to me my whole life. So anyway, we watched these four guys, the Beatles. Oh my God, everybody in the U.S. was in love with them. So I started to learn guitar. My dad taught me, and I was a little frustrated with it. Put it down for a while. I'm going to quit. I'm going to go back to piano. I got so mad at myself. I was going to disappoint my dad. Come on, you can do this. So I started learning by myself in secret. And then he came back and said, okay, girl, get your guitar when you're 14.
So you were inspired to play the guitar from seeing the Beatles.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, and not necessarily my dad. Isn't that something?
But
I would play piano with my dad. We would always play music together. And my brother, of course, turned into a drummer when he was 8 years old. So he was right there tapping along with us. And he played in our band for, the 10 years that we did through high school and college. So
now I want to play a little something right now that I think you might recognize, and I'd just like you to maybe tell me a little bit about this.
Yeah.
Now this does not sound Greek or traditional or anything like that.
Yeah, but you could really work up a good you could get a good Sitos going here, or even a Siftita, or I could do it in 7/8 if you want.
Let's listen to this for a moment and picture it in Greek. Yeah, rock out.
Yeah. It's funny, that was
Tell me about that. What does that hold for you?
Oh gosh. Well, we played a lot of Greek festivals in the summer. We call them Greek picnics, other folks call them festivals today, where you kinda go, you listen to a band, you eat, you drink. If you're over 21, you drink alcohol. A lot of beer. Greeks love beer. And dance. And there'd be a lot of kids in the audience. And my dad liked rock and roll, so me being all of 14 years old thought, gee, I'm going to sing a rock and roll song. This was actually the second song I sang. And I did, and the kids loved it. So we built more rock and roll music into our repertoire so that when we play, say, a Greek-American wedding, a lot of Greek-American weddings back then, kind of mixing up the pot here, which is so cool.
So this is, you played it, but you didn't play it like this. You played it like the Greek style.
No. We played it like this, actually. I just, I was just there playing chords on my guitar.
Oh,
I hadn't
gotten
too far at that point, but I was playing chords, had a good sense of rhythm, percussion type strumming, that sort of thing, very percussive style, and my brother on drums, and we'd have a couple other musicians with us, usually maybe an accordion player and a sax player, and of course my dad on bouzouki or guitar, and they, they all had phenomenal ears as well. Of course, I got that from my dad, and they would play along with us, and the kids just loved it. They just loved it, and yeah.
I think it's super cool. So did you continue to be playing the rock music, or did you... Or what, I guess this is, you were about 14 when you were doing this?
14 when I started, played for about 10 years till I was 24.
In college or whatever?
Yeah,
or
through high school.
Through high
college.
School and mm-hmm. all that. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so at what point did you start picking up the traditional music again?
About 01, summer of 01, summer fall of 2001.
It seems like just yesterday.
Yeah, it was probably actually more like 02, which was also yesterday.
I know. It is yesterday.
Yeah.
Huh. So what? Tell me about that. How did that happen again?
Very interesting. I did live in Nottingham for about 20 years, and through some friends, Jean and Linda and Arvy, I was sort of introduced to Tom Hall. We had played, Tom and Lynn were playing at a festival in Nottingham, and I was on a few minutes after them. I just caught the last, say, 2 minutes of their act, but I thought, wow, they look pretty cool. That sounds pretty nice. You know, what is that? And, of course, I went on and I played something with a guitar at that time. And I
a
also,
rock song or a...
Yeah, I don't even... Yeah, it was probably Talking Heads or something. A couple of, couple of rock songs. And I also at the time had started playing an instrument called the cittern that was made by a phenomenal local musician and even more phenomenal, or maybe it is the other way around, luthier, Bob Abrams. He plays almost every instrument you can think of, and he makes beautiful, beautiful citterns and mandolins. And so I had the cittern, and through
so explain through what a cittern is.
Oh yes, it's sort of like a mandolin on steroids. It's like an Irish bouzouki with 10th strings instead of 8, a 5
okay.
chords, 4 chords.
Mm-hmm. And is the cittern is Greek?
Well, no, it's well depends who you go back to. It's actually a Renaissance instrument.
Okay,
but it's used primarily in Celtic music and folk music. And you know, the Irish bouzouki grew up to be a cittern. But before that, in about early 1960s, Irish singer and musician Johnny Moynihan was given a Greek bouzouki by a Greek friend. I don't happen to have that person's name at the tip of my tongue right now. Yeah. But they brought it back to Ireland, and everybody laughed at them. Oh, round that, that's funny. And lo and behold, you know, check out a couple of Alec Finn CDs, all those folks, you know, a lot of the musicians, Tony Finch, others use the Greek bouzouki in recordings. And so they flattened it so it would be louder in sessions. At least that's the story I told.
Okay. So
we got a flat Irish bouzouki from a pregnant Greek bouzouki, I guess.
So you're saying that you believe, or the story that you've been told is that the Greek, the Irish bouzouki came from the Greek bouzouki.
Yeah, it's online.
And what do you play?
Well, I play a cittern.
You play a cittern?
Yeah.
Which is like a bouzouki.
Yes, but it's bigger. It's got
it's
10
bigger.
Strings. Got it's both the bouzouki and cittern are in the range of a guitar, and the cittern, I got a nice low D string there, so if there's no bass player in the audience or in the session, I'll be the lowest note.
So you think you can be more of like a one-man band with the cittern because of
You know, the thing plays itself, and sometimes it does sound like two or three instruments, but
we should play something from a bouzouki or a cittern or something like that to give people an idea of what this sounds like, just to give just
and
to let them know. Is this going to be Celtic music?
Is that what you want to know? We could do another one.
Yeah, we're gonna play a little bit of music right now. Oh, okay, yeah, we're gonna play a little Celtic music right now, and this has a little cittern on it.
Oh, ton of it. It's Gerald Trimble. Folks will recognize it, and this is the piece that inspired me to hunt down a cittern maker.
So it was this?
This piece. It was the intro to the Kaylee Show on another radio station.
Which one is that? You can tell me.
I can, yeah. WUNH, Rolling Good Buddies.
Well, we can't talk about them here.
No. wait a minute.
I didn't know it was that station. I didn't know it was them.
No. I snuck it in. No, yeah. And anyway, I love this tune. And I called Roland one day, and this goes way back to probably 2000. And he told me what it was and where I could get it, and I got it, and just had to untangle the notes.
Let's listen to this, and then we could talk about it more. Here on Local Folk on WSCA 106.1. Thank you. Well, thanks for that tune.
Yeah. Love it. See ya. Tune that kind of got me focused into Celtic music.
You know what, though? I'm not hearing something, and then I wasn't hearing. Okay, there we go. Yeah,
ooh,
yeah. Okay,
there.
I wasn't hearing my headphones.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
Ah, now you can hear.
Okay,
good.
This is much better. Thank you very much for that tune. I just wanted to. This was sort of a pivotal moment, if you ask me, in the world of, you know, your life, but my program, Local Folk, because what this does, this was a song that re-energized your.
Oh yeah.
Is that what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about this,
totally.
And then how things started to take off from there.
Okay, I love this song. Listen to this really, really cool Celtic program every Sundays from noon to 2 on WUNH Durham.
No, please listen
and,
to it.
Yeah. And I called Roland and asked mm-hmm. him, you know, who is that? What's the CD? He was so nice. He told me. I went and got it. And I wanted to learn. I hadn't played much on the sitturn, but I liked the way it sounded, and I liked, you know, the way I have it tuned sort of in an interval of a fifth with a...
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so...
is the fifth important to you?
Yeah, it's a real, real strong interval, really, really predominant in both the Greek and the Celtic music. So aside from the way the music sounds to me, I love both Celtic and Middle Eastern music. That interval of the fifth is so haunting, you know, and it's one of the Pythagorean intervals. No, we won't get into that now.
We won't get it. Was Pythagoras a Greek?
Oh, he gave us our power chords, man. The octave, the fourth, and the fifth. You know, the strong, strong...
He gave us power chords
power
and
chords.
Theorems and...
Yeah, but speaking of that, no, we won't.
But, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh,
I
no,
digress.
No. That's okay.
I digress. But
yeah.
You had your sitturn. You had it tuned your fifth.
Had the sitturn.
But that's another story.
Yeah, I had tuned the sitturn to the person who plays the song, the instrumentalist, the sitturn player, Gerald Trimble. He plays different now music now, but at the time he's a total master of sitturn, and I had to slow the music down through a little ancient instrument called a backtrack that would allow you to tape a bunch of measures of a piece and play it back real slow.
Is it a CD player or is it a...
Nah, this was way before. This was, you know, I was
cassette
still playing...
tape?
Yeah, yeah. It was a little kind of a cassette tape thing that you'd work with through, and the CD could be taped onto this little cassette. Gosh, I can't even remember. I don't know. It was a while ago.
Well, no, something they do make programs. I just need
to
mention for anybody that's saying, man, I love this music and I really want to get into it, but what do I do? You know, we had Barbara Stewart on last week who was talking about how she was reading the music and how eventually she learned how to just listen and play.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you had an ear and you're a real listener and player.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm terrible at auditory directions. If somebody gives me more than one thing to remember, I probably won't remember it. Yet I can hear music and, you know, I'll be kind of anticipating but not to the point where I'm not going to listen and not always be – I'm always ready for a change. I'm always ready for an ending. So I can totally focus and listen to what somebody's playing and follow them and be right with them. And if – I'm not, you know, I won't play, but I just need to hear where the music's going. And so for me, listening to that was the easiest and the quickest way for me to learn that piece.
And they make computer programs nowadays because a lot of people have all their music on MP3 that can do similar things and slow down the music. So just know, everyone out there, that you can go to the slow session, or if you're just at home and you want to learn and you have a new sitturn and whatever else, you can get a program that will slow down the music for you and you can play along.
Yep, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, so fun. So ironically, through through Roland Goodbody, you know, I fell in love with the sitturn. Again, Bob Abrams, master of sitterns and all other instruments as well.
Beautiful
as
instrument.
You got
beautiful luthier.
And there's a huge Nottingham connection. Originally, Bob had lived in Portsmouth. He's in Nottingham, as is Tom Hall. And Tom Hall is the, you know, our... chief person at the press room sessions for this has been going on for over 30 years.
Yeah.
And Tom, yeah. So wonderful man. So Tom heard that I had this weird instrument through my friends from Nottingham, who I mentioned before. Mm-hmm. And he had invited me down through one of them to come to a Friday night session.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a blast. I loved it. I loved the music that was playing. A lot of folks there from the Angel Band, Bob Foss and David Bem. Bless David. Miss you, David. Mm. Some phenomenal folks there, and that's how I met you.
And that's how we met.
Oh, no, yes.
Probably 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, that's
I don't even remember how the time goes, but I know
It's like yesterday, you know?
That's what I said. When you said 2001, I said, well, that's like yesterday. I really feel like that.
Oh, yeah, my mother told me this would happen. As you go old, you know, things are relative so that stuff goes by faster. I'm not sure I like that now. I used to like it when I was little and I had to sit in the corner, but no.
It's too bad. If only you could speed it up when you need to wait.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know, you could save up that sped up time from later on and move in on that
Bank
when
it.
You want to wait.
Bank it. Take it out now and use it. Yeah.
So that would be nice, but we can't do that. But we can listen to some tunes. And you brought your Citern in, which Tom Hall thought was... Tom Hall thought that your Citern was weird, but he must have heard Bouzoukis before.
Oh, he loved it. Yeah, he loved it. He heard Bouzoukis. And you know, it's funny to me that they look so identical, except mine's got 10 pegs and the others have 8. But seems I can be somewhere and never fails, you know. And I love this. People will come up and say, what is that instrument? And I just love it. They're so, you know, appreciative of an instrument that looks and sounds pretty, at least when someone else plays it. But
it sounds awesome, and when you're down there, you're playing really neat stuff, really cool stuff that is just shy of different than some of the other stuff that people are playing. Some of the other tunes when they start to play them, I've heard you play all kinds of different fusions of different things. But when you first came down there, did you do that or?
No, I was behaving myself. I was playing.
Too
really
bad.
was. For about a week. No, I did behave myself for a while. I was sort of, well, about as quiet as I can be. And I think sometimes it's quiet. And, you know, people were really nice. Yeah. They were, you know, playing a tune. Somebody else would come in. It'd be a lull. Somebody would come. Then it was a lull in between songs. It was just too long for me. So I was very, very, very quietly just kind of picking out something. And, you know, when you're playing loudly, you can't even hear the person next to you. So nobody heard me except Bob Frost. And he said, what's that? And I said, I don't know. Let's see. And I just had this, I don't know what Celtic piece it was, but the music, they're so similar to me anyway. And it just reminded me of this piece that I played in my dad's band by two of my favorite Greek artists.
Well, I'm going to play a tune right now, and when we come back, and everyone that's listening for a little bit can wonder, is this Greek or is this Celtic? Let's have a little contest.
Oh, they'll know.
You think so?
No, don't
give it away.
Oh.
All right.
I don't know.
Here we go. Let's see if they could figure this out. I don't know. I haven't heard it, so.
Oh, if it's Greek, it'll be Greek.
If it's Greek, it'll be Greek. If it's
you'll be able to tell.
Celtic, it'll be Celtic.
Yeah.
Guess what?
I think again.
I figured it out.
Just
let's listen for a sec,
scale.
Though.
Γιατί τα έβαψες ξανθά τσιγκάλα τα μαλλιά σου και χασες τη γλυκά σου κι όλη τη τσαχπινιά σου. Και χασες τη γλυκά σου κι όλη τη τσαχπινιά σου. Αχ, πού είναι η τόση γλυκά σου, πού είναι τα σκουλαρίκια σου, τα τόσα τσιφτετέλια που χορεύες και σπάγανε του μπουζουκιού τα τέλεια. Που χορεύες και σπάγανε του μπουζουκιού τα τέλεια. Τσιγκάνα μου, τρέχα να τα ξεβάψεις και βάλε τα τσιγκάνικα καρδιές να ξανακάψεις. Και βάλε τα τσιγκάνικα καρδιές να ξανακάψεις. Αχ, που είναι η τόση γλυκά σου, που είναι τα σκουλαρίκια σου, τα τόσα τσιφτετέλια, που χορεύες και σπάγανε του μπουζουκιού τα τέλια, που χορεύες και σπάγανε του μπουζουκιού τα τέλια. Χορεύες και σπάγανε του μπουζουκιού τα τέλια.
You're listening. You are tuned into 106.1 FM WSCA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. Right now, you're listening to Local Folk. My name is Steve Kerrigan. I'm your host, and I'm here with Carol Coronis, and she tells me that the people at the press room know that song that I just played. But before I get to that, and before we continue, I do need to let you know about some of the musical things that are going on right here in Portsmouth. Tuesday, I don't have anything on my listing for a Tuesday, but I will say that on Wednesday, in Dover, we have the Barley Pub, Steve Carter Jazz Guitar, 5:30, Greg Rothwell Quartet at 9 p.m., and that's at 28 Central Ave in Dover. At the Dolphin Striker on Wednesday the 22nd is Jim Devlin and Paul Costley. Rock and Roll, 9 p.m., 15 Bow Street, Portsmouth. Fury's Public House, A Minor Revolution, 1 Washington Street in Dover. It doesn't say what's playing there. At the Press Room, we have Ross Robinson Blues, 9 p.m., 77 Daniel Street, Portsmouth. Stone Church, we have someone with the last name of Mitchell, 9 p.m., 5 Granite Street, Newmarket, 659-7700. The first name is A-N-A-I-S, and I'm not sure how to pronounce that.
Anais Mitchell.
I hope. Okay, well, hopefully my inability to pronounce that will help to spotlight Anais Mitchell and her gig
right.
at 9 p.m., 5 Granite Street, Newmarket. Well, if you're not, then I guess that's okay, too. I think people probably guessed that was Greek.
Yeah.
Right off the bat.
And that was a Greek bouzouki. And that was Hiotis Manolis and Mary Linda, the first female Greek voice. I didn't care for the males except treble canto. The first female Greek voice that I actually liked. She did not sing in the old Balkan style where you kind of get real high and nasally. She didn't do that. And Hiotis, he was a guitar player who eventually played bouzouki, played rumbetiko, but he eventually evolved into a more popular sounding, more danceable music through his bouzouki, and he brought the Greek bouzouki from 6 strings to 8 strings. And he is one, if not the best bouzouki player I have ever heard, and I've actually heard quite a few over the past few years hosting the show. My dad was great. He could play his stuff. Me, I'm not there yet.
Something that just clicked with me. Doesn't the Citern have 8 strings?
10. Citrin's
10. Oh, Citrin is 10.
But.
So we went from 6 to 8 to 10.
Yeah, they grew. They grew. The baby, the Bouzouki was originally 6. Well, how far back do we go to the Turkish prisons, I guess, where they kind of got a gourd, some cat got in a broomstick or whatever, big stick and made an instrument.
A gourd, cat got in a broomstick and they made
the
an
origin,
instrument.
Right, yeah, it was the origin of the Bouzouki, believe it or not, seriously. And anyway, they did refine them, gave them 6 strings.
Bizarre sounding instrument. I mean, yeah. Just the name, Bouzouki. I mean, you could say that if you just wanted to laugh. That person just went totally Bouzouki.
Or if you're, right, that's great, he's Bouzouki. Or if you're going to board a plane, what's in your case? A Bouzouki? Bazooka?
Get on the floor.
No, right, yeah, no, not safe. Not safe, yeah. No,
I didn't say banjo. No.
Right. Speaking of banjo. Right, and in fact, my dad was one of a handful of musicians that I'd ever heard who could play the Hjortis runs, and he was great. Unfortunately, passed away at 58. So, yeah.
But he taught you a lot.
He did a lot. Yeah, in a lot of ways. Yeah.
You went from listening to this Greek music to rock and roll to meeting Tom Hall with your citrin, and then learning some, and then going to Irish
Greek music. Yeah, the Irish and the Greek music. I just love the way they both sound.
Let's talk about the Irish music, because you host a Greek and Turkish program, but you also.
Co-host with Roland Goodbody. We alternate weekends, and that's an interesting story too, how that all came about. But basically, Roland was thinking of making tracks, and nobody liked the idea, and I sort of fell into it.
He was talking about making tracks, like he wanted to not do it.
Yeah, he was kind of going in another direction for a while, but we got him. Got him to stay, and he trained me. He was so patient with me, so good, and I just fell in love with the music, and it's a lot of fun. I like doing that.
Let's listen just a little bit to something that you enjoy. That's Irish music. It's I have it right here.
Ah, cool. Oh, yes, exactly.
Yeah, the wind that shakes the barley and the reel with the barrel.
Right, the chieftains. In fact, they didn't influence me to play music, but I loved the chieftains. And I first heard them, I'd say sometime in the late 70s at Symphony Hall once, a couple other places, once in Concord, New Hampshire, I believe. And I loved the music. And I guess that was my first exposure to Irish music.
Okay, I was going to say, it wasn't Tom Hall in the press room. It was maybe even the chieftains in the 70s.
Right, but it was Gerald Trimble and the folks at the press room that really inspired me to want to play Irish music and to actually pursue it.
And then go so far as to host a show.
Oh, heavens, yeah.
To co-host a show. Let's listen to a little bit of this.
Thank you.
Right on. Okay, so that was really your first, maybe your first impression of the Irish music. That was spectacular.
Yep.
That was the Chieftains.
Yep. I love those guys. I still do.
That was the Chieftains. That was The Wind That Shakes the Barley and The Reel with the Barrel. And this is on a learning compilation of yours, it looks like.
Somebody made it for me, yeah.
Kind of like a mixtape.
Very, very cool. Very cool. A lot of nice stuff on there, yeah.
So after all this, you now play your own music. Tell me a little bit about how you went from just playing out at the press room and doing this and that to how you wound up making your own CD.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I was actually working on some acoustic rock stuff, and I still have it. I may get back to it at some point, but after having played at the press room for a year or two, Bruce Pengry, Bruce, how you doing? He had invited me to be part of a show at the Portsmouth Music Hall called Backbeats of Portsmouth, where there were five phenomenal acts, and I was the sixth act, although not last. And he asked me to play a 20-minute set of some Greek music. And for my first thought was, sure, why not? And then about 10 minutes later, I thought, what? Music? Wait, I can't do this. So I called my brother. And, of course, we hadn't played together in about 20 years. We practiced 3 or 4 times. And that kid is such a phenomenal drummer. He totally rocks. Mm-hmm. And he plays the Celtic stuff with us now as well. But anyway, and he's on my CD. But it was there that, Gary and Bill Zecker opened. There were a couple of other bands. The Angel Band was there, and,
So this
Sharon Jones.
This Backbeats Portsmouth, this was all about
Portsmouth.
Playing all kinds of different.
Yeah, different music, sounds of the Seacoast type thing, the history of Portsmouth, and the music that can be heard in Portsmouth, a variety of music that can be heard in Portsmouth. And the first act was Gary Szczyginski, Poker Party. And
hey, he's a fellow DJ.
Oh, he sure is.
If you haven't seen Gary, you have to go see him sometime. I just have to say, he's a great great musician.
Yeah.
And really puts a lot of energy into his shows.
Tons of energy,
I love it. So, you were in great company.
Yeah, and I almost left. It was funny. I saw them, and I heard them, and I said, there's the exit door. If you leave right now, you won't have to go. But anyway, it was such a fun night. I heard them, and I thought, you know, we did our set. People was so nice. They were so nice, and it was a great night for us. And somebody, this guy named Gary, was following me around for quite a bit, saying, you got to make a Greek album. You got to make a Greek album. And that was kind of the last thing on my mind.
Yep.
But I actually listened to him. He invited me on his show the following week. And then Jack Beard, folk show, that other radio station again.
Yeah.
Jack Beard, longtime host of the folk show, had invited me to perform on his program, except it wasn't his program. He actually hosted the Worlds of Music show that day in February of, I think it was 04 at that point. And Chuck and I played live on there. And so I met those folks through there. And then Judy Brigmont from the New Hampshire State Council on the Arts, she had invited me to apply to their Trad Arts roster. And with, a lot of encouragement from those folks, I did and got accepted. It was cool.
And this is really all from playing at sessions.
Yeah. Tom Hall, Lynn Schultz. Yep, Tom and Lynn and all the folks there. It still is. It's a ton of fun.
Yeah.
But at the time, I'd never been to anything like that where you could, come in with your instrument, sit down, hang out, have fun, listen, participate, go hang out, have fun, listen, participate, and play as much as you wanted. And I learned a lot of music that way.
What kind of advice would you give for somebody who wanted to get going, in this stuff? Is it buy an instrument? Is it get some lessons? Is it go to the session? Is it listen? I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, all of them. If you have a passion for music, don't let anyone tell you can't do it. Learn whatever your learning style is, whether it's taking lessons. Everybody should take lessons so you don't develop bad habits, with your hands and stuff. But, whether reading's your forte or listening is your forte, go with both if you want. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Or go with listening, go with that. But once you can play a couple pieces, you don't have to play them well. You just have to kind of know where it's going. Even if you play slowly, go out there. And even if you play every fourth note or every tenth note like I did for a while, you get the sounds in your head and your hands are just going to find it. Your hands are going to find where the places are on the instrument to make those sounds. And it's kind of nice being part of a group because nobody's really going to be you know, focused on what you're playing. They probably can't even hear you if it's a session. You hear the sound in mass. But it's kind of scary the first time you do it. But trust me, once you're there, it's gone. You have a blast. A total ball.
I need to hear it. I need to hear a piece of. I need to hear a piece of what we're going to listen to right now. I want to put it on a piece of your new CD that is not yet released.
Okay.
You could tell me about it after I play a little bit of it. All right. Here we go.
Tamlari, 당신님 신이신 뜻이 tamlari, 알라다 매미 알라마리 알라마리, 알라다 매미 알라마리 알라마리, 에라비 람비 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 예리어라 마텐
Now, to you listeners out there that thought we were going to let you hear the whole CD or the whole song, the whole tune, song.
You have to listen to
Before
Aegean
it was
Connection.
Reprised, you're going to have to listen to Aegean Connection. You're going to have to listen all the way till the end.
Till the end. It's always the last song.
This is always the last
always
song.
Always the last song, yeah.
Well, okay. So, and how long have you been hosting this program?
Going on 4 years, I think.
Going on four
Three
years.
4 years. That sounds about right.
Okay, so.
Yeah. And it's this is a Turkish piece that I played with, Chuck and I played with my dad's band. It's called Rompi, and it's in 9/8. And all that means is that you count to nine real fast and start all over again.
You count to nine real fast and start all over again.
And a dance is like 1, 2, 3, kick. 1, 2, 3, kick. And if I do it real fast, we can count to nine, but I won't. But I got to let you know who's playing on here and who we're going to hear from later. Yeah, this
please. The next one we're going to hear is Banish, and you do that in a slightly different way that we're going to give you just a taste of.
Yeah.
But please, let us know what's going on. Who's playing?
Okay, well, what we've got on here is, me playing citrons and singing, of course, and then my brother Chuck Koronis playing drums, a kit on this one. And we've got Chris Decato playing bass on this one and on the next one you're going to hear, I think. And then you're going to hear Bill Zecker on the last piece that we're going to play. And Bill's my bass guy for the stuff that we're doing now.
Excellent.
And he also plays bass on a couple other pieces. I actually played bass on two. And he also plays fiddle on a Greek Christmas
now,
piece.
This next piece that we're listening to is Banish.
Oh, yes.
Banish Misfortune. Now, but that's an Irish
tune. Yeah. It's a traditional tune, actually.
It's not O'Carolan, though, is it?
No.
I'm wrong.
It's not Irish, but it is traditional, and it is a jig. So a lot of people think it's Irish. I believe it's a traditional as opposed to Irish, but, you know, don't quote me on that.
That's
as we were saying earlier, I don't know a lot about this stuff either.
Neither do I, like I said, yeah, okay.
I know more than I used to, but I don't know. But no, I'm pretty sure Banish is a trad, and it's, again, normally done as a 6/8, but I like to play with time signatures. If something's in 4/4, I'll turn it into 7/8.
Is that what we did?
We turned the 6/8 into a 7/8 on
this
one.
We took the 6/8 to the 7/8, and our trivia question
is
what is the origin of this song? Let's listen for a moment. if you want to hear more of this, you're going to have to get the CD.
That's
Carol Coronis.
Be out in a couple months.
And it should be out in a couple months. It's been a long time.
Maybe more.
We've been waiting for it for a long time. That is a different take on Banished Misfortune. And you wanted to make a clarification?
Yeah, that is Bill Zecker on the bass, man. I don't believe I did that. Bill's playing bass on its seven pieces. Chris Takato's on four, and I'm on two. But you're not going to hear me tonight. That was Bill, and he gets into a really, really cool kind of jazzy thing there with a bass on that. So you have a 6/8 into a 7/8. We just added one beat.
Carol, thank you very much.
thank you so much
for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Steve.
We're gonna leave playing one other song or tune. That's Nina 99. Oh, please tell me about what you have coming up in terms of gigs.
Yeah, and these are all Celtic, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. It looks like March 11th. That's a Saturday. No, it's a Sunday, bright and early in the morning, the same night we set our clocks ahead. Anyway, we are one of the bands that I'm in, Celtic Tribe North, is playing for a fundraiser for New Heights Adventures for Teens. And that is their mission is to help make a successful transition to adulthood, teenagers, kids between the age of 11 and 18. This is going to be held at Patty's Grill over at Pease on 27 International Ride. And it's a road race, 5-miler. That's 10 in the morning to 1. And that's with Taylor Whiteside on fiddle, Cynthia Chattis on flute and vocals, and Shruti Box, myself on citron, and my brother Chuck on drums. Then Saturday, March 17th, which is St. Patty's Day.
Yes.
Ramona Connolly, fiddler extraordinaire, and myself will be playing at the Holy Grail in Epping, another morning gig, 10 to 2. And then we're going to truck on over to Patty's for a 6 o'clock gig, 6 to 10 that evening. Again, back to Patty's Grill with Celtic Tribe North. Little different configuration. Ramona on fiddle, Cynthia on drums, myself on citron, my brother on drums, and that's St. Patty's Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just to reiterate, Saturday, March 17th, Holy Grail in Epping, 10
no,
to 2.
Oops. Sorry. Saturday, March 17th is Patty's Grill.
Oh,
it's confusing.
What? Saturday, March 17th, Patty's Grill.
No, you're right. Oh, God. Oh, gosh. Help me. Saturday.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to post this on the Facebook page.
Yeah, St. Patty's Day morning is the Holy Grail.
I'll post the whole schedule. And if you need any information, you can contact me, Steve Carrigan, S. Carrigan, S-C-A-R-R-I-G-A-M-N, at WSCAFM.org. Next coming up, we're going to have Under the Radar, and it's going to be a little different and special today because they're going to have a live guest and also a tribute. Next week here on Local Folk, I'm going to have the son of musician Dick Lewis, and we are also going to do a tribute to him. I know I said I was going to do that this week, last week, but I was mistaken. We will be doing that next week. I look forward to doing it. Thanks for joining us tonight on Local Folk, and we will see you next week.
nina 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 nina